If you want to thrive, some things have to change. And so we have to understand our motivation and our intent in some of our choices. I mean, I think of my own leadership where I was busting my butt. And so why wouldn't they think I was the best boss in the entire universe? I loved my team, but I was people pleasing.
Welcome to the Rise with Diana podcast, the podcast for working women leaders who are dedicated to doing the greatest work in a sound body, mind, and spirit. I'm Diana Patton, ex-corporate executive and civil rights attorney turned entrepreneur and business coach, helping working women leaders to gain the confidence to speak up and advocate for themselves and take uncomfortable action through daily disciplined practices to experience true life success without sacrificing their sanity. It wasn't that long ago that I was taking things way too personal, secretly having something to prove, and doing my best to fake it like I had it all together. I thought the appearance of success was the glue holding my life together, but it was that appearance of success and hustling to prove my worth that was ruining my life. In this podcast, my goal is to teach you the tried and true secrets of living your greatest authentic life. You with me? Let's get ready to rise.
Well, I'm so excited to have a very beautiful individual who means so much to me in my life, who we've grown so deeply as if we've known each other for over 30 years to the Rise with Diana podcast. I want to share with you about Catherine Phillips. And we could probably have this podcast last forever, but we promised to our Rise with Diana podcast editor that we will not go long. So without further ado, I would love to bring Catherine on. Catherine is a college business professor at the esteemed Bowling Green State University, as well as the owner of sophisticated nonprofit business advisors. Catherine, tell us a little bit about how you came to where you are right now. Tell us a little bit about your family. And let's just open
up
here.
Yay! Okay. All right. Well, how I got here is I graduated from Bowling Green State University, not once, but twice. I've always wanted to be immersed with students and young people. They just give me so much energy. And I think over the span of my lifetime, I've had a lot of experience personally and professionally. And so it was just really cool to kind of get back there. It was very serendipitous. Knew a person who knew a person who got my resume. And how I came up with my business ideas, I have a heart for nonprofits and spent a lot of time in Hospice of Northwest Ohio, great nonprofit locally here in Toledo, and learned a lot about business. I mean, believe it or not, I learned a lot about business and how businesses run and what it takes to be a large, successful nonprofit. And I want to give that back to the community. Mm-hmm. I have two awesome daughters. I have two adult daughters, a 20-year-old and an 18-year-old. They have been my reason for being and living and doing. And since now I'm an empty nester, I've had to figure out what life looks like now. So I'm just excited to be on this new journey of teaching and business ownership.
Yes. And it's interesting because isn't it interesting how you find yourself? I mean, that's right. You heard her right when she said Hospice of Northwest Ohio. I would love for you to have our listeners know, because not everybody tuning in would know what that is. And then tell us what you learned in that particular experience.
Yeah. So Hospice of Northwest Ohio, I still say we. I was there for 13 years. I still say we. We help patients and families facing end of life. Mm. And so not only did I grow as an individual there from a professional standpoint, learned a lot about quality and compliance and performance improvement and fundraising. I didn't do fundraising, but learned a lot from our development officer, human resources, all that. I really was transported to the end of my life. And Diana, you say in the academy, that's called memento mori, correct?
Mori, yes.
And so, you know, being around social workers and consistently talking about the end of life and the pain people go through and experiencing in reviewing their life, emotional pain, spiritual pain, I was able to look at myself and say, you know, do I, if I died today or if I had a terminal illness, do I have some spiritual pain? And the answer was, heck yeah, I do.
Yes.
Heck yeah, I do. I got forgiveness pain. I got spiritual pain. I got emotional pain. Yes. I'm in physical pain.
Yeah.
So what I really took away from that whole entire experience was this ability to be able to review my life and fix it now before I got a terminal illness or, you know, hopefully old age, you know.
Yeah, that's so profound. And thank you. That's good work.
You're welcome.
That's good work. And when we say memento mori, which is what she said, we talk about that in the Rise Advocates Academy. Remember, you will die. It's a to remember. And it's not a morbid thing. It's a very, oh, okay, let me take this day and maximize it.
Right.
So it hasn't been a clear path to where you are right now.
No.
Share with me what you did know in your childhood were your superpowers. Like, what did you, do you see like you had these superpowers to, and if you'd like to share a little bit of your story of how you kind of came to that, to knowing that you have these superpowers.
Yeah. So I grew up in a single parent home with my dad and my three brothers. My dad was a pretty significant alcoholic. We were in pretty poor poverty. We had very little to eat. And he was abusive to all of us. Me, he was sexually abusive. And so my superpower that was born out of those experiences really was tenacity and grit. So I've always felt like I've had this fire in my belly to rise above what was happening to me and not be a victim, but a victor. And I just have learned that from a very young age. I also was very fortunate to grow up in a community that obviously didn't know what was happening inside my home, but gave me safety and all the support that I needed, you know, within the school system. And so they fostered through that grit, through sports, through music, through all the extracurriculars I was in. So I would say the ability to truly rise above and evolve and create a new path for myself would be a superpower.
Amazing. And I, when Catherine is a graduate of the Rise Advocates Academy, and during the academy, we have to share our stories and in our videos. And I saw Catherine when she came to the All Rise Live Global Summit last year, and then the academy, you would never know. And when I heard your story, it made me lean in and go, oh my gosh, you are exactly the person that I do this for, because we
did
the job of just getting it done. But what did what did you learn about that type of trauma response in doing that? Like in keeping that?
Keeping that pace just wasn't sustainable. I mean, I hit a pretty significant wall probably 3 years before I even knew I hit a wall, if that makes sense.
Of course.
And, you know, I call it, and I don't know if it's a technical term, but it was trauma drive. So this energy that I was taking to survive my life, I was putting it towards being successful and climbing the career ladder and getting my business degree, my MBA, and being a single mom and all the things, but it's just not sustainable. And I had felt like I was in this consistent pattern of do more, be more, get more, have more. And I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't be everything to everybody. And I realized that the anxiety in me was this engine that was going to break down. And eventually it did. It did break down.
Yeah. And the thing is,
it's just not sustainable.
Not sustainable. And I think a lot of people hear this in this community relate to that, right? Because without a doubt, you know, you and I and several others have been put on this earth to really be transparent about our lives so that we can know that was our drug of choice, is that we, your success, And then you mentioned another thing, which I really think is important for listeners to understand, of how you did your own self-medication. What did you use mm-hmm. in order for you to be able to get through a lot of these difficult times, which I think a lot of business people can relate to?
Yeah, absolutely. So I turned to alcohol. I mean, at first I went to college and I was like every other college kid trying alcohol, you know, just to party or whatever, but it gave me the relief. I remember the first time I drank. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget it because I felt like for the first time in my life, I could breathe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just remember that. And I just, you know, it gives you this relief, but it also gives you some energy too, to kind of keep going those long days, there's something that happens after 2 to 3 drinks that either you're going to sleep or you're ramping up.
Right. Right.
And yeah, I mean, there is just two directions. And so it was an unhealthy way to cope with the intense lifestyle of trying to raise my girls, develop myself, I don't want to say I was in competition with my brother, but he's doing all these big things and he's a chief operating officer for a local company and he's very successful. And so it just wasn't sustainable. And I literally hit a wall where, yeah. You know, I was in bed for over a week. I canceled on a client, which I never cancel, never. I would drag my tush puking in a trash can. I would never cancel. And I think just my spirit, my body, and everything just gave out.
Yeah. And then that's usually the critical turning point for people. Mm-hmm. How did you begin to turn the corner?
Yeah, so I started to think about, so Diana, you always talk about the identity gap, right?
Yes. Yes.
And I started to think about who is it that I want to be?
Yeah.
I always kind of knew who I was and who, you know, like, but really who is it that I want to be? Who do I want to show up as? Mm-hmm. And so I was saying, you know, I want to be somebody who is spiritually driven. I want to be someone who is healthy physically, mentally, emotionally. I want to be all these things. And then I looked at, okay, what's the gap? And I had already started incorporating some of these habits into my life. I had stopped drinking. It would have been maybe a year, if I'm doing the math right, before I had my break is what I call it. Yeah. And I had a spiritual practice in the morning and I was working out every day. So I had those habits already started, which was good.
Yeah, but how?
But it really was.
Break it down. How did you know to do that though? How did you know, oh, I need to, I mean, you went from flat out and then you just knew to like get up and, or, because some people are really,
absolutely. So I think it's just being intentional and surrounding yourself with people like you, Diana, like going to a conference that is reiterating the importance of self-care, and self-care is not just, you know, getting a massage and doing a sugar scrub in the shower. I mean, it's everyday habits,
right?
So it's, you know, kind of seeing other people's lifestyle. I'd worked for an organization where the people in the organization, the culture was, they all had spiritual practices. They all had physical practices. They all had, you know, so it was like either get on board or you're going to be left out. And then it getting reinforced with my work, you know, truly through going to the conference, going to the academy, kind of reinforcing that these habits are really healthy. And it was just, that was like my triage, right? Like going to the conference was like my triage and then helping me heal through the academy and just learning about all the different skills and learning about the ACE score and
yes, yeah,
which I had exposure to, but
yes. So this ACE score is this adverse childhood experiences. And so I want to ask, do you feel like your authentic self is being revived? And how do you know that? Like, what do you feel like now in this whole authentic type of world?
Yeah, I think now I feel that I'm my most authentic self than I've ever been. Because I feel at peace, for one. For two, I don't dread going to my place of work. It aligns with who I am, the values. You know, I treasure community. BGSU, Bowling Green State University, thrives on community. They have created a community culture. You can feel it when you walk in there. Okay. Yeah, I don't feel like the person that I'm showing to the world is this polished, has it all together person. And then I'm going home and like breaking down and crying and drinking like three bottles of wine. And you know what I mean? Like, I'm just not those, the two people that you see inside and outside are the same.
Isn't that beautiful?
It is beautiful, but I think of all the work that it took to get here and the work that it'll take to remain authentic is, it's a journey. It's a journey, and it's something that you have to intentionally choose. And there's skills that you have to learn and build. It just doesn't come just like that, because we're undoing thought patterns. We're undoing behaviors. We're undoing habits. We're undoing belief systems that have been imposed on us. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And I think too, this whole idea of independent woman, you know, it's like, you're a boss babe, you're a hustler, you're a, it's like, I don't want to be a boss babe.
Right.
The boss, when I was a boss babe, I was tired.
Yes. Yes. You're looking for flow, ease, and that's the power that you can have. So have you, in this authentic state, have you ever felt and or still feel that you struggle with this shrinking down? And how do you deal with it? Like, you know, some people, you know, even I like look at it and I go, okay, because there was a piece of me that I'm still working on my authentic self. How do you balance, you know, like being in situations that are difficult, people are not being very good. Do you find yourself ever having to shrink down so that other people don't feel insecure around you? Or if you feel a sense of dominance in the room, how do you handle those situations?
Yeah, for sure. I can give a couple examples. A previous employer, I felt that I came in, I was my true authentic self. I was just me, very outward and powerful and ideas. And I felt that I had to shrink back to gain favor, quote unquote, of the team that I was on, because I felt very disliked. I felt extremely disliked. And then I had started noticing some things that I didn't necessarily agree with. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to say anything. And then my coach, Diana Patton, was like, girl, too bad. So sad. You're speaking up. I'm like, I don't want to. Don't make me. So even like people think I'm so confident, but when a whole entire team doesn't like you and you know it, you can feel it, it's natural to want to conform to be liked. We want to be liked, right? Another example is when I can tell my students have had enough. You know, I'm just there doing my thing and being silly and whatever, and I can just tell they're tired and have had enough. Like, I have to resist not shrinking because they're uncomfortable or because they're like, they don't have the same energy that I have, right? Because you can feel it. They're not, what's so fascinating is they're not disrespectful. They're listening. They're not even on their phones. I mean, they're all great, but I can feel the energy and I have to resist, like, okay, you're not here to entertain them. You know, you just keep going and just be yourself. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's something that it's not perfect. That's why we call it practice, right? Yeah. So we continuously practice to be authentic.
Okay, come on through with the knowledge. See, the thing is that I feel like everybody can relate to that. How many in Rise with Diana in podcast land can relate to that? Mm-hmm. Because so many times that you know, even I, everybody, doesn't matter if you're a full tilt authentic, like you definitely have a badge, mm-hmm. got a tattoo saying you're authentic. You might even have a shirt that you're going to get at the All Rise Live Global Summit. But, you know, it's like we all still feel that. And so I just applaud you because there you do have to understand your audience, but oftentimes we are shrinking down because of fear. We're shrinking down because
100%.
Of feeling like, oh, well, I just want them to like me. And I just, just so great because at the end of the day, we do have to be who we were called to be, loving people along the way, but still called to be who we have to be. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So tell us what is it that you actually teach at your beautiful BGSU?
So right now I am teaching business ethics and social responsibility.
I mean, who better?
It is so much fun.
Right? Who better to teach this? And you said you're finding something beautiful and unique because just so you know that when, you know, here we are having this conversation, but you have to know that because Catherine and I live in the same city, I find myself wanting to hang out with her all the time. And we walk a lot, talk a lot. So this is just like another conversation of us walking and talking. But what are you seeing with the youth of today and certain things either that, because we're going to be talking about this at the summit about like how people sometimes shame young people and but what are you seeing with the youth of today, especially in social responsibility and ethics? Tell me.
Yeah, I'm telling you, these young people have it going on.
Yeah,
they have figured it out. They're intelligent. They're smart. They do think beyond just the bottom line of finances. They care about the environment. They care about their well-being. They care about, I had a student say, he was, had an interview in New York City and he came back and said, how'd it go? And da, da, da. And he goes, it went really well, but they want me to be on call basically every single evening and every weekend. He said, it's good money, but I don't know if I'm willing to give up the cost of my well-being. And I was like, you know what? When I was his age, I just would have done it. Because my grandparents would have said, you're crazy.
Crazy.
You got to put in the hard work. You got to do blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, that I don't know if I want to do that. I don't. And he said, I don't mind being on call, but every night and every weekend. No, thanks.
Okay.
And that's not lazy. That's smart.
Not lazy? That's smart.
That's smart.
Slap a high five on that because the thing is a lot. Y'all better beep your horn, or if you saute some vegetables, you better saute them a little bit longer. Because here's the thing, this is what we want boundaries, and you need boundaries, and you need.
Yes.
Is that PJ?
It is PJ. I'm so sorry.
No, we real people here on the podcast. Peach just wants to be in on the podcast. Hi, Peach.
Hi, PJ.
That's PJ by everybody, the Rise with Diana PJ with Catherine. And that's her beautiful, beautiful dog. And I just feel like a lot of times people aren't willing to understand that from that lens about our young people is that if anyone has a better grasp upon of ethics and social responsibility, I would say it is our young people. And man, what an honor.
Absolutely.
To have you as their professor, because you get that.
Thank you. Thank you. And they're wonderful. And I say, we're partners in this. I have some knowledge and experiences and you have knowledge and experience. And we're going to learn a lot from each other. We just partner in this little journey we call fall of 2024 in business ethics.
But. Yeah. By timestamp of this, when people listen to this from 10 years from now, I would love to see and hear what they might, you know, when, what their viewpoint is on young folks that are going to be years as an older age. But the thing is that we are partners in this. And a lot of people don't want to humble themselves from an ego perspective to say that they are equal. You don't earn, like some people I've heard these narratives, you got to earn your stripes to be here. Better not say anything.
Right.
beliefs because you're not at their level. And I just think that's so anti-inclusion and anti-belonging. So the message here for people that I'm trying to give here in Rise with Diana podcast land, as well as the All Rise Live Global Summit, partner with people. Mm-hmm. Let them know that you're not below them, but let them know that I see you, I value you, and I hear you. And so that's exactly what we need in the world today.
Yes, absolutely.
So why do you suspect that it seems to be a bigger challenge for corporate women to speak up? What do you see as being a big issue?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, we are afraid of being disliked. Mm-hmm. I think we fight against our opinions not being valued or being talked over. And instead of just understanding that this is just how this room works, we don't continue to go above because we don't want to be rude or we don't want to be, you know. So I think of like when men are in a room, they banter and they talk over each other and they don't care, right? Well, if I start to speak and a man speaks over me and I don't want to be rude, I may come back and, mm-hmm. you know, be silent. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to push past that. And I think we get shut down a lot too, but also we don't recognize that there are other people, men in particular, who are advocating for us. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, when I chose to speak up at my previous employer, they were leaning in. They wanted to learn. They wanted to know what my perspective was. They honored that. They were like, well, wait a minute. What? You're feeling like what? We're so sorry. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it's exactly what we talk about is that, first of all, you've got to be aware of yourself and see, okay, well, why are you shrinking? You know, why are you saying, right. And I just think the Gen Zs and the women my age need to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Learn a little bit from them. You know, it's not personal. It's helping with my ability to do my greatest work, really.
Right.
Appreciate that. So you're going to be, by timestamp of this again, we are recording this and it's before the All Rise Live Global Summit happening in Chicago, October 10th through the 11th, 2020. And not only are you going to be speaking on the Golden Scars panel and sharing more about your story, but you're also going to be given spoken word. Catherine is actually opening up the All Rise Live Global Summit, and simply because of who she is and what I believe that she can give in this world, because we haven't scratched the surface of what she's actually given to this world. Yeah. And that she was a former actress. There's so much about Catherine that the world needs to know. But what would you say to that young woman? You kind of were alluding to some things too earlier, the woman who's really struggling right now, who is really contemplating, should I just stay at this job and just suck it up and just whatever, because things don't go my way. Mm-hmm. Like always, it's the shoes always about to drop. What would be the first thing you would have to do?
Well, the first thing I would tell her to do is get her cute little self to Chicago.
Yeah, of course.
The first thing. It was the first thing I would say. But yeah. I would say that, first of all, we're not designed to just survive our life. And if you're feeling like that in work, you're surviving your job. I don't care what your paycheck is. I don't care what your title is. You're surviving your job. And you have a choice to make today. Do you want to survive or do you want to thrive? Mm-hmm. Make that choice. Mm-hmm. If you want to thrive, some things have to change. And yeah. So we have to understand our motivation and our intent in some of our choices. I mean, I think of my own leadership, where I was busting my butt for my team in the name of people pleasing. Mm-hmm. And so why wouldn't they think I was the best boss in the entire universe? I was killing myself, making sure everything, I didn't delegate enough. I was taking stuff off their plate. But when I really dig down deep, yes, I loved my team, but I was people pleasing. Mm-hmm. I was getting my self-worth out of how much they said I was a great boss or a great leader. And I am a great leader. Yes. However, I was wearing myself out. Yeah. And so these women, we have a choice. And so what is my motivation? What is my intent in doing what I'm doing? Do I put too much value in a paycheck, in a title? And are there opportunities to delegate that I'm just not delegating because I get some type of ego reward by taking it all on? Mm. Right? Am I martyring myself? Mm-hmm. Am I staying till 9 o'clock at night and saying, oh, I work so many hours, but when people ask for help, I say no.
Mm. Yes. Okay, y'all, did y'all hear that? Who is she speaking to? The thing is that you have to be the one. She said, you have to make a decision. And I'm so glad you said that because at the end of the day, it is really us who is in control of ourselves and our schedules. So, oh my gosh.
That's right.
This is so good.
That's right. And no one is looking over. And if we go back to Momentum Mori and fast forward to our funeral, no one is hovering over our casket saying, gosh, she was on 15 boards. That's awesome.
Right.
Man, I really loved that navy blue Mercedes she drove.
Right. Right.
No one is saying that. No one. And so we have to determine like what our values are. Does it align? Are we going to thrive in the lifetime or are we going to be victims of our schedule that we actually created for ourselves?
Mm. Preach a word. Okay. Where's my microphone? I need to drop. Oh, here it is right here.
I want to drop my dog. Keeps barking.
Oh man. So good. Here's the thing, Catherine, I thank you so much for being the human that you've chosen to be and become. I thank you for the life and energy that you provide to so many people in your classroom, in your community, in the work that you do as a consultant for Sophisticated, and then just being a regular human being with a light that's so bright that it makes me feel like I can actually do great work. Where can we learn more about you and stay connected to you?
Yeah, so I am on Facebook, good old Facebook, Catherine Mary. And then on Instagram, Catherine Mary 20, which I need to be more active on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Also, my website is sophisticatedadvisors.com. And yeah, that's how you can find me.
Sophisticated is got a K in there. Sophisticated.
Sophisticated. Like,
sophisticated Catherine. So we're so grateful. And I am grateful for you. And I continue to marvel at all the things that you continue to do in this world. And give it up. Like, subscribe, give a heart. Say, Catherine, you keep going. And look out for Catherine's book one day. I'm just saying it on the
podcast. That's right.
That one people to read. If a leadership book, doesn't matter what it is, I know there's more work for you to give to the world. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, everyone,
Ms. Diana, I appreciate you so much.
So appreciate you so much. Everyone, thank you so much for being here today. And please, again, like, subscribe, share this with a friend, share this with someone who needs this right now. She gave us some instructions on how we can do our lives and be better at that. So thank you so much and have a great day. See you next time.
Thank you for being with me today. If you found value in this podcast, be sure to like and subscribe to be notified of weekly content. You can also learn more and follow along with me on any social media channel and by going to risewithdiana.com.